22. Philip opened his eyes and saw a sideways landscape of unfamiliar pillows in the foreground, an unfamiliar wall in the background, and Britt the Younger's sleeping face in between. He took a moment to collect his thoughts. As his brain booted up, he replayed the previous night in his memory. When he was done, he went back and replayed a couple of his favorite bits a couple of times. Pleasant though the past was, Philip knew it was time to deal with the present. He looked at Britt and reflected on the fact that the present seemed pretty nice, too. The future, however, was a minefield.
"If I get up and leave," he thought, "I'm the selfish guy who got what he wanted and ran. If I stick around, I'm the clingy guy who overstayed his welcome. I'd better decide what to do fast, or else she'll wake up and I'll be the creepy guy who was watching her sleep with a worried look on his face."
What Philip needed was a distraction, something that would wake her up and hold her attention through the awkward, "Hey, why is Philip here?"
"Oh, that's right,"
phase of the morning. Philip knew that his staff was nearby, and he might be able to magic up a diversion, but in order for that to work, he'd have to put on his robe and hat, and he especially didn't want her to wake up and find him getting dressed. Besides, all of the spells that he could think of to use as a distraction were sort of a dead giveaway. He pictured himself saying,
"Ha! Look at that, Britt! A 6-foot pillar of flame here in your bedroom for no reason! That's something, isn't it? Oh, and now it's gone. So, how did you sleep?"
Philip felt despair. Then he felt anger at himself for being the guy that wakes up in bed with a beautiful woman and has it cause him despair. He rolled onto his back and resigned himself to wait for the inevitable awkwardness when Britt awoke. He looked at the ceiling for a few moments. Then the door swung open. Nick swept into the room with a tray of food and a glass of some sort of juice.
"Good morning,"
he said as he walked around to Philip's side of the bed. Philip sat up and Nick placed the tray on his lap.
"Good morning, Nick,"
Philip said, grateful, not just for the food, but also for a far better distraction than which he had imagined. The plate on his tray contained eggs and some sort of fried meat. Philip hadn't realized he was hungry until he saw the food. And now he could think of little else. He turned to look at Britt and found her bleary-eyed but awake and pulling herself into a seated position. Nick said,
"Don't go anywhere. Now that our guest has been served, I'll be right back with yours."
Britt and Philip smiled at each other and said good morning. Philip said,
"Nick seems to be in a good mood today."
"Yeah," Britt said. "I'm sure he's happy. He always says I should have a man in my life."
Philip said,
"What about him?"
Nick returned with an identical tray of food, which he placed on Britt's lap, and said,
"I already have enough men in my life, but thanks for asking."
They enjoyed their breakfast in a cheerful, mutual silence. When they were finished eating, Britt turned to Philip, smiled, and said,
"So?"
Philip returned the smile and said,
"So? Okay," he thought. "The ball's in her court. Let's see what she does with it."
Britt said,
"I think last night went very well."
Philip laughed, largely out of relief, and said,
"I wholeheartedly agree."
Philip thought he sensed some relief in Britt's laugh as well. After a long pause, Britt asked,
"Do you think Martin suspects?"
Philip said,
"I don't think he suspects. I think he's absolutely certain."
"Really?"
"Yeah, he knew where I was going. He knows I didn't come back. He's not concerned for my safety, or else he'd have called."
Britt nodded.
"Yep, Martin knows."
Philip looked at Britt sideways and said,
"Look, if that's a problem, I can just go back in time to an hour after I left. I could tell him that you were fine and nothing happened. Of course, my internal clock would be 8 hours off then, and I'd probably fall asleep in our meetings today, but I'll do it if you want."
Britt put her hand on Philip's to stop him.
"No, it's fine, Philip. I don't mind him knowing. Do you think he'll tell anyone?"
"Gwen,"
Philip said.
"He probably already has."
"Really?"
"Yeah,
Philip said.
It's an excuse to talk to Gwen, and Martin never passes up one of those.
But it's so early.
Philip held up a finger, as if to say, one moment, then he held up his right hand and said,
Communique con Martin.
The empty space in Philip's palm was filled with the silvery, glowing image of the bust of Santo, the Mexican wrestler from Martin's staff. Normally, an eerie organ sting would have played to signify Martin's phone ringing, but it barely started before Martin answered. The bust of Santo was replaced with the head and shoulders of Martin, who had a sickeningly happy look on his face. Martin said,
Yeah?
Philip said,
Hi, Martin.
Martin kept smiling. Neither man said anything until Martin finally asked,
Are you...
His voice trailed off and he shrugged, but he still had the same nauseating smile. Philip sighed and said,
Yes, I'm with Britt.
Martin laughed diabolically and gave exaggerated thumbs up. The laugh went on much longer than was dignified, which was, of course, exactly how Martin wanted it. Philip said,
Okay, okay. Look, have you told Gwen yet?
Of course,
Martin said.
She's here right now.
Gwen's head appeared over Martin's shoulder. She had the same sickening smile on her face.
Good for you, Philip. Where are you now?
Philip winced and admitted,
I'm at Britt's place.
Gwen said,
Oh, put her on.
Britt leaned in close, and Philip twisted his arm so that her head would be in view. Britt said,
Good morning.
Instead of saying good morning back, Gwen gave an enthusiastic thumbs up and laughed like a crazy woman. She did this alone for a moment. Then Martin joined her, both in the laughing and the thumbs up. Britt and Philip laughed a bit in spite of themselves. Then Philip said,
Oh, shut up. We'll see you both at the summit.
He clenched his hand, hanging up. The night before, Martin had waited for Philip to finally do what they both knew he wanted to, go check on Britt. Then he'd waited for Philip to return. Then, when it became clear that he wouldn't be back that night, he waited until morning when he could talk about it with Philip if Philip showed up, and Gwen if he didn't. When morning came, it was clear that Philip had not returned, so Martin arranged to meet Gwen for breakfast. That's where they were when they got Philip's call. They had a table at a surprisingly modern outdoor cafe. Martin was not surprised to find that coffee was on the menu, despite the fact that South America wouldn't be discovered by Europe for hundreds of years. He was surprised at how good it was, though. When Gwen arrived, they ordered their breakfast. Then Martin shared his news, which made both of them very happy, not just because their friends were presumably happy, but also because they could good-naturedly rake both of them over the coals about it for a few days. The phone call came just before their food arrived. They spent the meal idly discussing the situation while they ate.
I'm surprised that Philip worked so fast, Gwen said. He's never seemed all that romantic to me.
Well, he doesn't show that side to you, Gwen. You're like a sister to him.
Gwen smiled.
Are you saying he's shown that side of himself to you?
Not directly, Martin said, just defensively enough to make it clear he was in on the joke. But I know it's there. Guys like Philip are like, you know those cheap frozen chicken pot pies you get from the grocery store? Philip's like one of those. He's all bland and beige on the surface, a little bit flaky, too. But underneath, on the inside, he's a scalding hot, bubbling mass of passion and gravy. And peas.
And chicken,
Gwen offered.
Well, less than you'd think, Martin said.
Back at Britt's apartment, she and Philip were dressed and ready to face the day, but not together. They had decided that it would be for the best to keep things quiet for now, and both of them emerging from her front door didn't feel like the way to make that happen. Instead, they decided that she would leave via the door and walk to the summit as usual, and that Philip would teleport back to his room and go to the summit from there. Nick came out to the living room to see them off, but was not having much success at it.
Go on,
Philip said.
Get going. Once you're gone, I'll teleport out and meet you at the summit.
Britt said,
No, you go first, then I'll go.
Philip shook his head.
No, you go now, then me.
Britt crossed her arms.
I don't see why I should go first.
Maybe I enjoy watching you walk away.
Britt blushed slightly, then said,
Maybe I enjoy watching you walk away.
Philip said,
See, I'm going to teleport, so all you'd see is me disappearing. There's not a lot of fun in that.
Nick said,
I disagree. Look, you two kids have to get going or you'll both be late, and that'll look just as suspicious as you two leaving here together anyway.
Britt said,
Nick's right.
Yeah,
Philip said. Britt said,
I should go.
Philip said,
Yeah, me too.
Philip and Britt said in unison,
Right after you.
Then they laughed like teenagers. Nick walked over and opened the door. He grabbed Britt by the hand and said,
Come on, time to go. The sooner you two get to your meeting, the more time you can spend making googly eyes at each other.
As he pulled her out the door. Gwen lifted her napkin from her lap and put it on her plate before pushing the plate away.
You have to hand it to Britt and Philip,
she said, settling back in her seat.
They figured out what they wanted, and they didn't waste a lot of time getting it.
Martin took his time parsing Gwen's statement. After mentally double-checking it, he leaned forward and said,
You know, when I realized that Philip wasn't coming back, I seriously considered coming to visit you.
Really?
Gwen said. Martin said,
Yeah.
They stared at each other for a moment. Then Martin asked,
Should I have?
Gwen shrugged and said,
If you have to ask, then probably not.
She smiled as she said it, but that didn't alter the meaning much for Martin. He chuckled once, mirthlessly, and said,
Then I'm glad I didn't,
as he stood up to leave. Gwen smiled and said,
Oh, Martin.
Martin leaned in and said,
Gwen, save it. Look, I've made my position perfectly clear.
Perfectly,
Gwen said.
Yes, when you say that, like it's something I should be embarrassed about. But I'm not embarrassed. I'm interested. I have been since day one, and I am now. If something's holding us up, it's not me. So please, don't act like my uncertainty is the problem.
Gwen's smile disappeared.
What are you saying?
I'm saying exactly what it sounds like I'm saying. That's the beauty of me, Gwen. I'm clear. You, on the other hand, hint that I'm not direct enough, but every time I've tried to take the bull by the horns, you've shot me down.
And then you've mixed your metaphors.
Gwen's smile came back, but it had changed, and not for the better. Martin said,
A mixed metaphor's like a beautiful woman.
How so?
They can both make a guy look stupid.
Martin turned to leave, but only got one step before his right hand started glowing and emitting a chime. Martin's shoulders sagged as he lifted his hand, answering the call.
What?
Martin said. Philip's face appeared in Martin's hand. He looked panicked.
Martin, is Gwen still with you?
Yeah?
Good. You two come meet me at the doctor's now. There's been another attack on Britt.
Gwen heard. Martin hung up, and a second later they both disappeared. Across the street, Ampix put down the brand new kilt he hadn't really been considering buying, shook his head, and walked away.